This is COVID-19 Seattle. I'm Dave Ross.
And I'm Aaron Granillo. The state is bracing for a double dose of viruses this fall when influenza hits the COVID-19 pandemic head on.
That's one reason why public health doctors are urging people to get their flu shots this year to limit the chance of getting sick and overwhelming hospitals.
Dr. Jeff Duchin is King County's public health officer and joins us for today's episode. Thanks for speaking with us.
Good morning. Pleasure.
So, Dr. Duchin, what do you fear could happen if COVID cases remain too high when the flu season begins?
Influenza is unpredictable. So I need to say right at the outset that it's very difficult to predict in advance what type of flu season we'll have. The past 2 years, we've had rather significant flu seasons, long and many illnesses, many hospitalizations, and many deaths. And now we have COVID that is expected to worsen in the fall. So should we have both a severe or even an average flu season, at the same time as we're having increasing COVID, it would lead to a large number of illnesses and many of us becoming ill with illnesses that are hard to distinguish. So influenza can appear a lot like COVID, requiring many of us to isolate, to quarantine, to be tested for COVID. And unfortunately, significant number of hospitalizations and deaths may result.
Now, the flu vaccine changes each year because you have to anticipate which viruses are going to prevail, right? So do you know if this year's strain is a particularly virulent one?
We won't know until the season is in progress. And influenza is, as I said, unpredictable. Sometimes it drifts a little bit away from the vaccine strain. Other times it's a good match. And it's really only as we get the experience of people who've been vaccinated and exposed to the virus that we learn that. So at this point, there's no reason to think that there will be problems. We expect it to be a good match for what was last circulating. But until the season is over, we can't really tell you how well the vaccine worked. We expect it will provide meaningful protection against infection and very good protection against hospitalization and severe illness.
We know public health offices around the country are overwhelmed right now. Are there any fears right now that there might be not enough doses of the vaccine this year, the flu vaccine, that is?
No. We expect record-breaking supplies of influenza vaccine because of COVID, anticipating an increased demand. Now, that said, we know that less than half of adults who have underlying health conditions get flu vaccine in a typical year. The highest rates are among adults 65 and older because they understand that they're at very high risk for hospitalization and death. But our younger adults and our healthy adults tend to take up the vaccine at much lower rates. And that's really where we have a lot of room for improvement this year. We'd love for all adults, particularly those who have underlying risk factors, as well as our older adults and children, to be vaccinated because, again, we want to decrease the likelihood of people getting sick and requiring a hospital visit or a healthcare visit. We want to keep people as healthy as possible, and we don't want them to get illnesses that will be confused with COVID-19.
So, Dr. Duchin, can you settle this confusion over the changing CDC guideline? The new guideline apparently was that for people not showing symptoms of COVID-19, they don't necessarily need to get tested if they're asymptomatic, even if they feel they may have been exposed. So what's your guidance on this?
It is a very unusual guideline from the CDC. We have never seen anything like this. I think they are asking state and local health departments to make the judgment of who needs to be tested, and we're very willing to step up and do so. We know that if you have been exposed to COVID-19, you should be tested. And in Washington State, King County, we will continue to recommend testing of all close contacts of people who have COVID-19. It's the right thing to do to decrease the risk of those people spreading infection to others. So we're going to continue doing what we've been doing, and I think most parts of the U.S. will continue to be doing what they're doing. And remember, people spread this disease before they become ill, before they look ill. You know, our friends and family, when we get together, we must assume that everyone is carrying COVID-19, take precautions to prevent spread, stay apart physically, wear masks, avoid prolonged close contact in indoor spaces where there's poor air circulation.
So where's the hole in the system? Is mask use up? Are there other infection routes that we're not addressing seriously enough?
I think it's a combination of things. You know, the virus transmits very readily from person to person, and people need to further reduce discretionary activities. I mean, obviously, I think we can all see that lots of people are socializing right now in the summertime, and we saw a big spike.
But they're wearing masks. Do you have indications that even if you there are times when even if you are wearing a mask, you can transmit the virus?
Oh, absolutely. A mask is not 100% protective against COVID-19. If it was, we'd have this under control pretty quickly. Yeah. A mask reduces the risk, but the most effective thing to do is to decrease the number of contacts with others. These masks aren't completely 100% blocking the virus, and they're not protecting the wearer very well. So the bottom line is, masks are a tool, an important tool, but they must be used in conjunction with decreasing the number of activities, the proximity to others, and the duration of contact with others.
So you should still, even with the mask on, even if both, let's say you've got, all right, five people with masks on in a cluster, you should still all try to stay 6 feet apart?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, okay. Because the message I got was that it was mask up or 6 feet apart, unmasked. But you're saying you need to do both.
Yes, whenever possible, you need to keep the distance and wear the mask, because the mask will reduce the risk and the distance will reduce the risk. And together, you have more risk reduction. Neither one is a guarantee. A lot also depends on the environment that you're in. Outdoors, much, much safer. The indoor environments, particularly indoor environments that are poorly ventilated, are much higher risk. So mask use will decrease your risk in both outdoors and indoor environments. Staying farther apart will decrease your risk. Avoiding indoor poorly ventilated spaces will decrease your risk. But none of them, outside of completely avoiding contact with others, is 100% effective. They need to be used together.
Dr. Duchin, you alluded to reopening schools earlier on there. If we continue on this downward trend that we've been seeing the last several weeks now, is it possible, based on the trajectory we're at right now, that school children could return for in-person learning before the end of this year?
I think so. I think the Washington State guidelines are reasonable guidelines for when we should consider bringing kids back for in-person learning. And what they state is that when we're under 75 cases per 100,000 over 14 days, schools should consider bringing back the highest risk children who are suffering the greatest amount of both educational and behavioral and medical consequences from being out of school. So the youngest learners, kids who have special needs, children who need psychological support and other counseling and or physical therapy at school, starting with those young kids and then increasing the ages as possible, if it remains safe and the school is able to operate, would be a reasonable thing to do. And I think if we do the right thing together as a community, work together, wear masks constantly, avoid close contact, avoid poorly ventilated indoor spaces, we can get there and we can start bringing kids back and see how it works. And all of this is unprecedented. So we can't say for sure what we're going to experience. We need to take small steps, evaluate, reassess, readjust if necessary, and move forward if we're able to safely.
On the possibility of another shutdown, I don't know if you saw the long piece in the Wall Street Journal, I guess it was earlier this week, which tried to assemble all the science and seemed to come to the conclusion that a total shutdown was never necessary, that we could have achieved the same thing if we had had instant universal compliance with mask wearing and distancing and, you know, maybe avoiding large groups. How do you feel about that? Should we start seeing numbers go up again? Could we prevent it this time without a shutdown, but with more individual discipline?
Yeah, it's a good speculative question. You know, the shutdown, I think the Wall Street Journal was talking about, you know, a shutdown everywhere at the same time. And they were wondering about whether communities that had lower incidence needed to have a complete shutdown. Clearly, once the disease starts to accelerate in your community and reaches that what the exponential phase of growth, where it's doubling every few days, a complete shutdown is the only thing that will stop it. New York City is the example I think that they used. They waited way too long. They had no choice but to implement a complete shutdown. It's possible that if people will comply, that less stringent measures can be effective. Again, you know, this is all based on theory, but it's worth trying. And there are layered interventions. So mask use is a layered intervention. The more compliance we have with mask use, the less this disease will transmit. Decreasing the number of discretionary activities outside the home. If we can get people to cut their activities, even if by half, that will help. If we are able to improve ventilation in indoor air spaces, that will help. So it's quite possible. And that's what we're trying to do right now, is to layer on these various interventions one upon the other. None of them are 100%, but as they're layered together, if they work adequately, we would not need to do a shutdown. And that's the whole point. We want people to be able to do as much as possible. But in order to do that, we have to be very smart and very safe about how we go about it.
So, Dr. Duchin, statewide, I believe the latest count we have, the latest sort of two-week rolling average that we've been seeing, we're at about 100 cases per 100,000 residents. I know the state wants to see this 25 cases per 100,000. That seems incredibly difficult to reach at this point. Can you explain to us, though, why public health doctors are so adamant about hitting that goal?
We want COVID to be as low as possible. We want people to be as healthy as possible. We want to be able to get back to school and get back to economic activity. And the best way to do that is to control the spread of the virus. So really understanding the need to decrease the number of activities outside the home, to decrease close contact with people outside the household, to wear masks constantly when in public and around others, and to avoid closed spaces indoors where the virus can linger and lead to larger numbers of infections than it can outdoors. So that number, that 25, is our goal. And of course, you know, we are completely 100% interdependent and depend on how each and every one of us adjusts our behavior and our lives and our environments as to whether or not we reach that goal. And as a community, as a society, I think if we do work together and take these steps, we can reach that goal. But we have to deal with, you know, what the reality is. And if it turns out we can't hit 25 per 100,000 over 14 days, we'll have to manage with whatever level we are at. But that will make it less safe for us to do all the things that we want to do.
King County Public Health Officer Dr. Jeff Duchin. Dr. Duchin, thanks very much.
Great talking with you.
And so that's a pretty optimistic to me. It seems like, based on what we know now, as long as people understand that the mask use works and that it has to be combined with these other measures, should the infection rate inch up again during flu season, we would know that there is an alternative to a total shutdown, and it is each of us individually taking this seriously and doing these little things, which individually can't prevent the infection, but when taken together can be as effective as what we attempted to achieve with that total shutdown. This is COVID-19 Seattle, and we will see you on Monday.